if you have a book, think every time you should bring the book. And even though you don't understand, teaching, I think you should read, contemplate before lecture if you have a textbook, anywhere, and then bring the book with you. And during the lecture, you have to read, you should read together. This is very important practice. Most of you don't bring the book because even though you bring the book with you every time, you don't use so much. When you read the textbook, you just look at. That's why you don't blink, I think, so. It just is very hard for you. Okay. Anyway, Buddhist practice is to do something with not only the one of your six senses. If you listen to the lecture, you listen to the lecture with your ear. But that is not the real listening to the Buddha's teaching. You should read, you should listen to the Buddha's teaching with your whole body, whole six senses, with the whole, all pores you have. But not only Buddhist practice, this is very important for you. To practice piano, I always say, play the piano. When you play the piano, you believe in a common sense, you can play the piano with the two hands. But that's it. The music you can play with, play the piano with the two hands doesn't make sense. It's not real music. No one is interested in such a music. Would you think so? You should listen to the music you have played, you are playing. You should listen to the feeling of the composers. You should listen to your hands. You should listen to your mind. You should listen to the audience, and you have to anyway do many things with your whole body within the one practice, so called playing the piano right now, right here. You have to use your whole body. And then that practice makes you, anyway, finished. Naturally. You cannot play the piano, you cannot become a pianist only through the technical way of becoming a pianist. Technically, you cannot be the great pianist because you ignore the human warmth, human feelings. Do you think so? If you don't have a human warmth, human feelings, you cannot deal with the piano itself as a warm, as a feeling. The piano becomes just a material. It doesn't support your life anyway. That's why most of people become very realistic. In order to put people believe that they are playing the piano, in order to get what? for the sake of what? Faith. Which? Very realistic. Better life. If you deal with human life like this, you don't understand pianos. You don't understand that music. You are practicing now speech of life. Speech of life is always emphasizing that point, okay? You should do something with your whole body. So listen to the Buddha's teaching, and as best as you can, you try to use your whole bodies. So if you have a chance to read textbook through your eye senses, why don't you read it? Okay? This is important, even though only once during this lecture you can look at this textbook. That's enough. That's all right. Don't deal with the human life very, what would you say, intellectually, very calculately. If you deal with the human life very calculately, do you understand calculate?
Calculate.
You don't understand the speech of life of Buddhism. You don't understand the people's feelings. You don't understand a way to live in peace and harmony with all sentient beings. You don't understand it. Chapter 55. This chapter case always contemplate the problem of life and death. Last time we studied the case. This case is very important for us. They will have to read verse. But before you read the verse, anyway, would you read
the case verse?
Page 365.
Tao Wu and Tian Yuan went to a house to make a condolence call. Yuan hit the coffin and said, "Alive or dead?" Wu said, "I won't say alive, I won't say dead." Yuan said, "Why won't you say?" Wu said, "I won't say." Halfway back, as they were returning, Yuan said, "Tell me right away, teacher. If you don't, I'll hit you." Wu said, "You may hit me, but I won't say." Yuan then hit him. Later, Tao Wu passed on. Yuan went to Xi Chuang and brought up the foregoing story. Chuang said, "I won't stay alive and I won't stay dead." Yuan said, "Why won't you say?" Chuang said, "I won't say, I won't say." At these words, Yuan had insight. One day, Yuan took a hole into the teaching hall and crossed back and forth from east to west and west to east. Chuang said, "What are you doing?" Yuan said, "I'm looking for relics of our late master." Chuang said, "Vast waves spread far and wide. Foaming billows flood the skies. What relics of our late master are you looking for?" Zui Dao added a comment saying, "Heavens, heavens." Yuan said, "This is just where I should apply effort." Fu of Tai Yuan said, the late master's relics are still present.
Okay, verse please. 369.
Just the verse of the commentary.
Just the verse.
Rabbits and horses have horns. Oxen and rams have no horns. Nary a hair, nary a wisp. Like mountains, like peaks. The golden relic still exists right now. With white foaming waves flooding the skies, where can they be put? There's no place to put them. Even the one who returned to the West with one shoe has lost them.
the monk Yuan has faced this question of life and death. Finally, he found a chance to ask what the life and death to his teacher when they went to perform funeral service. So Yuan opened the coffins and the casket and saying, what is death? The teacher's answer says, I will not say it is death, dead. I will not say it is not alive. It is alive. So that means the teacher cannot say anything about life and death. This is a point in this koan, and also later when the Yuan walked at the Buddha hall here and there carrying the hall east and west. And Xuan asked, what are you doing? Yuan said, I am looking for teacher's relics. And then De Xuan says, here is a technical term, vast waves spread far and wide, forming billows. Bright skies. That is a special expression by Chinese of how vast the universe is. Completely vast. If you go to the moon, the universe is really vast. The earth you live in, it's really tiny, just a speck of dust. And then within the tiny world, so called Earth, human Earth, think a speck of dust. Millions, millions of human beings exist and fighting each other. How small it is, how ridiculous it is. Because the universe is huge. So Chinese expresses how vast the universe is. That is, the vast waves spread far and wide, warming glows, flat sky. This is expression. So Xuan says, the Xuan asks him, what are you doing? So the Yuan says, I am looking for the teacher's relics. But Xuan says, do you know how vast the universe is? How can you find teachers who are in the realm of vastness and existence? Where is that? And then, later, Yuan said, page 366, Yuan said, this is just where I should apply effort. So, 2 points here in this case. One point is that life and death is completely nothing to condemn, nothing to comment, nothing to say. On the other hand, one said, this is just where I should apply effort. Life and death is constantly going in the realm of vastness of universe. How can you put down? It's vast. But human effort must be there. Human effort must be applied in the vastness of existence where there is nothing to say to comment. This is human effort. Okay? That's second. Remember this point. Whatever problem of your life you want to think, life and death, cold and heat, summer and cold, winter, good and bad, right and wrong, whatever it is, you should think human problem in terms of this basic principle. Because contents of reality, real reality you live in constantly, is structured by two principles. One is vastness, nothing to pin down. But on the other hand, within the nothing to pin down to comment, you have to apply your effort. Okay? Because you live constantly in terms of, in the light of cause and effect, beginning and end. Okay? If you are born in this world, there is a beginning. If there is a beginning, there is an end. You cannot ignore this. So very naturally, you have to make effort. Effort is human actions. Human action requires the purpose of why you do this. If you have a purpose for the human actions, action is based on teaching of causations, cause and effect. That's why you try to know purpose. Even though you don't know, okay, human actions requires its own purpose, very naturally. There is cause and effect. If you do something, you can get something. So, life and death is complete vast, nothing to comment, nothing to say, but there is a place you have to apply your effort. So-called, you have to say something about it. Okay? It's contradictory, kind of contradictory. On the other hand, okay, let me say once more again. basically, there is a very fundamental pure contradiction of us. This is very universal. Wherever you are, always there is. Being or not being, good, bad, man, woman, right or wrong, life and death. This contradiction is very pure, very sheer, open to all sentient beings, not only human beings. And also this sheer contradiction is constantly going in the realm of identity, so called the same and one ground. Okay. But I don't mean, sir, first there is the identity, realm of identity, or the same and one ground, and then there are contradictions. No. Okay. It's very dualistic. I don't think this is right understanding. Contradiction, you have to find a contradiction. You have to find a contradiction right in the middle of vastness. Emptiness. You have to find the vastness of existence within contradictions. In other words, contradiction is simultaneously. Contradiction is simultaneously vastness. Vastness is simultaneously contradiction. That is Buddhist teaching always. Okay? Usually we believe first there is the same and one ground, so-called, what to say, truth. And then we can find contradiction, life and death, good and bad, right and wrong. All contradictions are going in the realm of this identity, the same and one ground. This is dualistic, very dualistic. It's not Buddhist teaching. So vastness means, I will not say. Okay? This Zen master says, I won't say. Your life, what is your life? You want to say. Life and death, how can you live? How have you been living in this world for 20 years, for 30 years? How have you created your life for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years? Nothing to say. Basically nothing to say. Your life, actually, nothing to say about your life is really basic nature of your experience of life and death. It's exactly nothing to say. But nothing to say doesn't mean to shut off your mouth. Okay? Nothing to say about the human life is first step. You can make questions. Because you live, that is. Why do you sit down here to listen to? What's the purpose? You want to know Buddha's teaching because you find some problem of life and death. That's why you want to listen. If you have this purpose, the listening to the Buddha's teaching right now, right here, gives you some answer to your questions you have had, can't you? No way. Sometimes. You can get the answer from my talk right now, next moment, when you go out from this sendo, you forget it. You don't know what I said. Right after leaving here. So actually, you don't know why you sit down here. This is your life, but you don't know why you sit down here, but your life is exactly going there, you know, in this realm, sitting. This is real reality, your life. Nothing to comment. And then after that you say, what are you doing? What I am doing here? You make all these questions. Okay? So first of all, anyway, something is going before, complete beyond your intellectual sense, beyond your questions. All is going. This is real picture of life and death. Complete going. That's why this is a must says I want to say. About life and death. Nothing to say. But it doesn't mean to shut off your mouth. That is the first place you can make a question about human life. Okay? But usually we don't believe. First, we can make a question about the human life, and then we can say something about human life, or sometimes I can say human life. And sometimes we believe I can create my life. I don't think so. That is very intellectual, very dualistic. So, in the verse, rabbits and horses have horns, oxen and rams have no horns. That is, rabbits and horses have horns. It's really completely beyond intellectual understanding. Rabbit, you have never seen the rabbit with the horns. So we believe rabbits never have horns. This is our understanding. Okay. Now that time you can pin down something. Yeah, horn. The rabbits has no horn. That is your understanding. But he says, rabbit has a horn, means you cannot say rabbit has a horn or rabbit has no horn. Means life and death is complete nothing to pin down or to comment. This is the basic nature of your life, tree's life, anyway. What makes your mind sitting doesn't like this, and then you can see it gradually. That is a very basic, quiet state of human existence. But it's very dynamic, because from that silence and quietness, you can make questions. Questions, energies, capability, coming up constantly, which makes you alive. But usually we don't do it. We do opposite. Always opposite. That's why people first people are very exhausted
first,
Then when people are exhausted, they don't know the place where to go. So finally, they are confused. But if you know this very basic fundamental state of human beings, which is very quiet and very dynamic, from where many being, many capability, energies, and spring water coming, gushing out in your life. That time, of course, you're a human being and suffered a lot. You might, may be exhausted very often, but you can find out where you should go. That's really safe, relief. But most people don't know. Because always going out, trying to get something, they don't know how to, they don't know where it goes, where they should go. So, rabbits and horses have horns. Oxen runs no horns. This is a very intellectual understanding, alright? Intellectual understanding of nothing, no comment on life and death. That's why the note says, chops them off. How extraordinary, how fresh and new. Symbolism is not talking about life and death where you cannot say anything in terms of intellectual understanding anyway. But life and death which is fresh and new, constant. But even though you cannot say anything about life and death, but you have to say because there is a cause and effect. You have a consciousness. Without language, you cannot know what human life is. Without language, you cannot understand ancestors' life. Convey or transmit human life to next generation. So language is important. Even though nothing to say about human life, but there is something to say. How can I say? I want to say about life, about death. This is expression, okay? Here says, rabbits and horses have no horns. Oxen and rams have no horns. Excuse me. Rabbits and horses have horns. Oxen and rams have no horns. That different expression, but meaning is same. So very naturally, chop them off says, chop them off means still a smack of intellect. Okay? So Zen Buddhism doesn't teach human life which has a smack of life and death. You have believed. You must be free from that smack of life and death. You have believed. If you become a scholar, very naturally you can have a smack of scholar. scholastic way of understanding. If you master the technique of art, and then this mark of techniques can be found in your works, always. It's very smelly, very stinking. If you want to be a really great artist, a great, great person of pianist, or great person of art, painting, whatever, you must be free from the smack of a painting, painter. You have to be free from the smack of a pianist. This is final goal, because pianist, life of pianist is not something separate from your life, so-called life and death. Okay? So life of pianist must extend every inch of your everyday life. But usually artists are very egoistic, because artists always concentrate on art. Okay? Because it's fun, lots of fun, creating the masterpiece. If the more you make an effort, the more you can find, you can create really masterpiece. So it's lots of fun there. But if they come back to their own everyday life, they don't know how to take care of. So life becomes very messy, very messy. Okay, next, nearly, here, nearly wisp, like mountains, like peaks. So, there is nothing to comment on life and death, means complete, nearly, here. Complete nothing. You cannot say nothing either. Completely nothing. That's why nearly a hair, nearly a whisper. But next sentence says, like a mountain, like a peak. This is one sentence, right? One sentence. Nearly a hair, nearly a peak. Wisp, okay? Wisp. Like a mountain, like a peak. That's very contradictory expressions. Complete nothing, okay? Even a small space, no space there. No width, no length. If you doubt on a piece of paper, you can see still length and width. But nothing to say, nothing to comment, doesn't mean that with no width, no length. Okay? Means complete nothing. But that is simultaneously like a mountains, like a peaks. Well, this is very important for us, okay? You cannot say nothing to say, you cannot say about your life, how you have lived. By your effort, by your thinking, by your effort, you believe, I have taken care of my life. Of course, but this is just a speck of dust. But the life what you have, every possible effort to build up is good for you, or bad for you. Can't you say about that? Can't you say, can't you make a comment on your life, what you have built up for 20 years, for 30 years? Can't you comment on this life? You can comment, but it's not exactly hitting the bullseye as a whole. Finally, you don't know how you live. You don't know how you have built up your life. Because whatever you say, sometimes your life is pretty good, you feel good about the life, what you have built up. But sometimes you don't feel. So what do you mean? Nothing to say. So this is an original nature of your life. If it is true, I don't think you should imitate it. Imitate it to your life even though you don't understand, even though you don't feel good, even though you feel good. I don't think it is desirable for you to be imitated by the understanding of your life. Because practically and truly, nothing to pin down or count. That means vastness. That is simultaneously life itself and death itself, like a mountain and a peak. Look at the mountains. Mountain is really sitting in the universe. Ha! Very dignity. There's dignity with majesty. This is your life. Everyone's life. That's why you have survived for many, many years. Just like that. No one interrupt. So that's why he says, nothing to say about your life, but that life is really total picture of your life, just like a mountains and the peak, and the oceans, and trees in the severe winter. Trees just stand up with dignity and majesty, tuning into the rhythm of nature. So, that's why he says, nearly a hair, nearly a wisp, like mountains, like a peak. This is the real nature of your life. The golden relics still exist right now with white forming waves of flooding the skies. Where can they be put? Golden relics still exist right now. Your life is exactly no comment, okay? If so, there is nothing to say about your life. If so, there is no life, no death. But life and death is exactly there. Just, it's golden because it's just like mountains and skies. Even though you understand your life, even though you don't understand your life is constantly going just like a mountain, with dignity, with majesty. And then this is nothing to comment by anybody's, by you, by anybody's. But from that, it is really silent, it is really quiet, it is really dynamic, because from that silence, many vitalities, lots of vitalities, lots of spring water gushing out from that. This is called dualistic world. You live there. Okay? Nothing to say, but there is a life. That life is not like you think, you understand. But that is a life which is just like mountains and peaks with dignity, with majesties. That is called, technically, we say, Buddha nature. We are Buddha. Buddha is complete greatness. Greatness. Beyond human evaluation. So, that's why it says that golden rays still exist right now. What is a teacher's relics? Teacher died. Relics is here. But if you look at the relics, it's relics. It's not teacher. And then if you say it's not teacher, it's relics. No, you cannot say it's not relics, it's teacher. Can't you say that relics is teacher? No, it's relics. So finally, there is nothing to comment about this. Relics you can see right now, right here, but it's real. It's really here. That relic is golden relics. You have to meet from moment to moment. When you have to respect, you have to respect. Anyway, you have to deal with the anyway relics. It is the poem said by the Dokken I mentioned before. when he was asked by his disciples what is the life and death, he says, a maple leaf showing its back, its front. It is falling. A maple leaf showing its back, its front. Its back, its front, back and front are basic fundamental contradictions, very pure contradictions. Regardless of whether you like or dislike, anyway, there is a front and back. And then that front and back, so called contradictions, are always going in the same and one ground. That is called falling, vastness of existence. Because within the leaf, that power to fall, so called motion, the action, is that which comes into existence, including by the help of nature, okay? Spring, autumn, summer, winter, and rhythm of nature. And then motion, so called to fall, comes into existence. So to fall is not ideas, to fall is action, motion. So that motion is implication of vastness of existence. Who takes care of this motion? Make believe. Maple leaf means individual life. You. So you fall to the ground from moment to moment. So there is a subjectivity there, so called person there. Okay? Simultaneously, it is a Dharma, so called teaching, so called vastness of existence. What is the vastness of existence? This is just motion, energy, moving. But that is not an idea of the motion you can see objectively, because it must be something which you should make it alive in your everyday life. In other words, it must be personalized. It must be digested by what? Your practice. Digestion of this motion, so-called vastness of existence, is you, individual practice. When you see the relics, teacher's relics, well, absolutely nothing to say. But when you see the sense of teacher's relics, exactly, you should cashew, take care of it. But when you think it is teacher's relics? It is a teacher? No, it's not teacher. It is relics? No, it's not relics. It's teacher. So finally, nothing to say, because it's vast. Right? It's really vast. So when you think of it, when you think, your consciousness cannot reach really vastness of existence. So naturally, intellectual sense gives up to go far. So that is so-called silence, nothing to say, no words. But even though your intellectual sense cannot reach that point to both eyes, but it's still there, just like a mountain and peaks, with a dignity, majesty is there. There is your life. That is so-called, for its make-believe, showing back in front. It is falling. Who falls? You fall. You fall from moment to moment. But actually, you don't fall because you don't fall. Because vastness of universe is creating something that is not idea, it's motion. So that's why golden relics still exist right now, with what forming waves flooding the skies. Where can they be put? Where is the relics? You cannot say here is the relics in the vastness of existence. You cannot say complete nothing. So next says, there is no place to put them, no place to put rags, to put the dead. This is called the dead. No, you cannot say this is dead. But on the other hand, can you say this is not dead? No, you cannot say it's not dead. So that dead body is not dead, but it's a dead. How can you say? If you start to think of it, you cannot say nothing, because if you start to think anyway, you have to put your object in the vastness of existence, very naturally, even though you don't want it, even though you want to put that your object in the intellectual sense. No, you cannot put your object in the intellectual sense or in the dualistic world. No. Very naturally, you have to put in the vastness. So finally, that means you don't know what to say. That's why he says, I don't want to say, I want to say. But actually, there is a death. Okay? There is a dead body. So there is no place to put them. Even the one who returns to the West with one shoe has lost them. That means someone says Bodhisattva went to India carrying the with the one shoe with his hand. The other shoe is left in China. His body, someone says his body is buried in China. Someone says he went back to China. He went back to India carrying the one shoe. That means it doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. And the stories. Whether he actually went back to India or he stayed in China and buried in the China. In China. It doesn't matter. Okay? That is a story. Point is, anyway, dualistic world. Okay? Dualistic world, anyway, if you believe Bodhidharma went to India, went back to India. Let's look for the place where he went back. No one knows. But maybe we can try to find, maybe over there, maybe this, maybe that. Okay? Finally, nothing to say. No one can find his shoe. This is dualistic. Nothing to say. But even though you don't know the Bodhidharma was really there in China, maybe the Bodhidharma buried in China, Bodhidharma maybe went back to India, but we don't know where. One Japanese scholar says Bodhidharma was not real existing the previous. Because he couldn't find exact differences, histories, so he denied the Bodhidharma. Well, that is scholar's business. I don't care. So that's why he says there is no place to put them. Even one, the one who returned to the West with one shoe has lost them. Anyway, so always there is a contradictory situation here in our life. So. In a different teaching, different expression of this is sometimes the emptiness and impermanence is same meaning as emptiness, absence of existence, and also causation, teaching of causation. So, structure, contents of your reality you live in from moment to moment is based on two principles. One is impermanence. The other one is causation. So, causation is going in the realm of impermanence, means vastness of existence. So, your effort must be applied in the realm of vastness. That means all you have to do is spend power. Just do it. Just take care of your life. When you sit down, just sit down. got it. So anyway,
whether you can get married or not,
well, you have to do it. I told you before the story, children's story of Taurus and the hare. Taurus has made enormous effort, complete beyond his label, how slow he is, complete beyond. He complete beat me from his label, his lifestyle, complete beyond free. Then he made effort, complete. How much? We don't know. We have to make every possible effort to walk. How much? We don't know. Constantly. That means Dogen then said, 100,000 millions times you should raise the body mind. It means get energy anyway and live. Stand up straight and then walk. Just like toys. That's why finally he reached the top. But the other question, the other point of this reign of Toro's life is he never compromised. No, he never compared. He is ability with others. He doesn't expect any rewards. Just walk. So there is nothing. In the story of the Taurus and the hare's in race, basically there are two principles. One is complete fastness. Being free from his label, his lifestyle, his capability, complete beyond. Then there is a place, good place, he has to apply his effort. That is what? It's like a maple leaf showing from the back, just falling. Without any reward. But there is total effort based on causation. That's why finally he reached the top. So, vastness, one point is vastness, teaching of the vastness, of existence, nothing to comment about your capability, about your ability, about your talent. No. Just do it. Okay? Nevertheless, there is a human effort based on causation. Very naturally, you can reach the top. Okay, do you have a question?
In the vastness of existence, there is no self. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And who makes an effort?
You want to say the universe makes the effort, huh? I don't believe you. Actually nothing. Nobody makes the effort. So why don't you accept you who make the effort? Okay? Return to the normal. Just like mountains and peaks. This is the basic. You have to stand up first in that basic state of existence, okay? Like a mountain and a tree. And then you can make a question, who make an effort? Okay? Where is the person who makes the question now about this? Where is he? Where is you? Where are you? You're already in the process. So why don't you make an effort? You make an effort.
Which is that? If we make an effort based on causation, will that lead us to the realization that we exist in vastness?
Mm-hmm.
If we make our effort, which is based on causation, will our effort lead us to the realization that our life is really based on vastness?
Mm-hmm. Simultaneously. Simultaneously. That's why that is called falling, okay? Maple leaf, showing the bark in front. It's falling. Falling is actions, to act, anywhere from moment to moment. But this action, you cannot say anything about these actions, okay? Because who make it? We don't know. You don't know. Maybe universe. Right. Well, you cannot say universe makes me effort, but I don't think so because you show that it's back in front. Because that universe must be personalized. Personalized means you understand personalized. Universe, vastness of existence must be alive in each individual. Right. And then there is a person. And Dhamma there. You know, vastness of existence. If you always make a question, who make efforts? I don't know. If you say so, you always see that human effort from this, only this aspect. So you don't know. But it is a part of the truth, but it doesn't work in your life. Okay? Because there must be the person who takes care of this vastness right now, right here, and who takes responsibility for transmit this vastness to next generation. Titi. And that's what person we, there must be person. Okay? You understand? If there is a teaching and historical Buddha exists, and then no person, no sangha, how can you carry it? How can you practice Buddha's teaching and right now again? Who take responsibility for teaching the Buddhism to next generation? Or who takes responsibility for teaching the human history to next generation because you have created human histories on it? If you make the human history, human culture's nest, you have to transmit, you have to convey human history and the cultures you have made, because it's very important for us. So for this, we need a person. But generally speaking, there are three important things. First is ages. It just means time. And also place and person. So, place and time means in the Buddhism that it's a Dhamma. Vastness. Vastness of existence. Basic principle of human existence. For truth, we can say truth. But even though you understand the truth, if you don't practice, okay, if you don't make the truth alive in every individual, who can transmit it to next generation? If there is no person who do it, who do this? In the future, no history, no culture. That is very destruction. Destruction. That is really end of the world. More than, it's really powerful, more than nuclear weapons. So that's why we need a person.
But Hodgson, that's only the end of the idea world. Mm-hmm. It's not the end of the Buddha nature.
No.
Buddha nature goes on.
No, it goes on.
Maybe it's better to stop history transfer.
No.
Maybe that's good.
No, too good. The people realize how important human history is.
Why did Bodhidharma go back to India with one shoe?
I don't know. Each time I went back to Japan, I would have to one of the Japanese famous stars. Maybe that the 300 years later, maybe people make a little bit of fantastic stories. Karagi went back to Japan. Lived in the one summer in Minneapolis. No one knows where the summer is. The bottom of the lake, Yahoo? Who knows? But anyway.
Yeah.